Hola.
Well, Grace Point, you did it again. You did it again for the third time. And as the Mexico 2015 team is coming up to sit in the front here and to sit around these chairs, let me, and there's candy up here, guys, so hurry up. I hope you get one. Let me just thank you for the way that you helped us to fundraise in numerous ways, you know, taking part in buying a door or a roof or just supporting different team members. You helped us to get down there on a very important mission. And let me just say this, that we were, just take a seat, forget about the candy for now. That's awesome. All right. Some people have already stolen candies. I've noticed this. But this is awesome. But we had a great time, and we were just really, really transformed. And, you know, to go on a trip, I mean, you saw it up there. It's a lot of fun. And we had a lot of good time together. We had some challenging times together. And going on a mission with God, as exciting as it seems, as we saw up there, just 39 of us just hanging around, is challenging. And maybe God will call you on a mission this morning. And you might kind of say some of the things that we said when God laid it on our heart to go on a mission with him to Mexico. If you look through the scriptures, it's very common when God calls us to go somewhere to give reasons why we can't go. When Moses was called, he gave God 5 reasons why he couldn't go. He said things like, I'm not qualified to fulfill this calling. I lack knowledge. I do not believe I can fulfill my calling. This is not my calling. And I do not want to fulfill this particular calling. Right? You can read about that in the scriptures. And when Isaiah was called, he said, you know what? I'm not a very righteous person. And the apostle Peter said the same. When Jeremiah was called, he said, you know what? I'm too young. And I have to tell you, as fun as that was, we could have really missed out on it if we didn't face our fears. So team, let me just ask you, and there's some mics here on the side, and I'm going to pass these out. And you just, you know, put up your hand if and when you're ready to share. I've got a couple of mics here. Let's start panning out this one over to this side. Harjeet, I know you really want to speak today. You told me that at home. We'll put this one here in the center. Let me give this to you, Debbie. That's awesome. Let me just ask you, what were some of your apprehensions? What were you feeling before going? You got the nudge, and then what started to go through your minds? Go for it, Debbie.
Okay. I thought, was the cost of traveling worth being there physically to show one Mexican family and OLOC that I care? I had 2 children along, so tripled the cost.
Yeah.
I'll speak. I wasn't really apprehensive about going at all because I wasn't planning to. It was actually a trip for my daughter, and then I kind of got a nudging to go along by some people, and, you know, I kind of felt it in my heart, and I was thinking of the story Jonah, you know, he got swallowed by a whale, and he got carried off and puked up, and I didn't want to be whale puke, so I thought, okay, I'm going to go, and I signed up. I didn't ask my wife, so now I'm in trouble for Christ. Off we go. So how did I solve that problem? I started selling stuff on Craigslist. I do renovation work, and I started pulling toilets out and carburetors and whatever. So I went to Mexico on toilet money. Yeah. I sold everything. How did you know that used carburetors would sell for $40, and they were a hot item on Craigslist? Never knew, right? But anyway, I was apprehensive to know who I might meet there. Some of the people were a little scary. But I also knew Rod and Steve from before, so I was comfortable to go.
Well, I could speak Spanish about 20 years ago, slightly. So I decided I was going to restudy and try to communicate with the people there. And believe me, I was apprehensive. Could I understand them? Could they understand me? And when I got there, I didn't do very much building. I ended up talking all week. So my apprehensions really were not necessary.
I'm afraid to show my face, so I'm hiding back here. I'm just kidding. I'll stand. No, to be honest, this is the first time that I had an opportunity to do a trip like this. And so I've been working in youth for a number of years. First time I've actually got to go on an international mission trip, done lots of local stuff. And I was quite nervous, actually. And it probably didn't help that I grew up in a family that was constantly like, be careful, be careful. And then, you know, my mother-in-law is saying, oh, yeah, people get killed in Mexico all the time. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, so the day before, I'm like, my stomach is just in knots. And I'm just feeling, oh, my gosh, am I going to be like one of those people? I hope not. But I'm sure, you know, it was coolest to be able to trust in God and say, you know what, if God is called, then I want to be faithful. And whatever happens, happens. And I trust him in that. And it was really, actually really enriching and even more rewarding because to step out and trust, even when I was feeling like nervous, it was actually all the more rewarding in it. So, yeah. Hey, we should hear from a youth.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you guys are going to be quiet.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Okay, I'm going to stand up. Okay, my fear about going on the trip was definitely the travel days and like going through the plane without my parents to help me. In the end, I actually quite enjoyed it. And like even just going through security, even though there was lines and stuff, I thought it was fun. And yeah, so I'm super excited to go back. There's no fears anymore.
Okay, one of my fears was if I would fit in with the group. I was scared to go because I didn't know anybody other than the Melnicks, and I think I knew Chris or Kelsey. Yeah, one of my fears was, would I even do anything there? Would I, you know, build, or would I talk to people? And I think just off of... after like the plane ride and the bus ride, everybody just became like a group, and that was kind of cool. And so I guess, yeah, that was one of my fears, is where would I fit in all this? And so that I easily overcame because everybody was so welcoming.
Okay, so you took this risk and you went out. And you know what? I had some apprehensions too. I thought, 39 people, are we going to have enough work to do? Are people going to be standing around wishing what they're supposed to do and then thinking, maybe I shouldn't have come. This is a waste of my money, my time. I had some of those same apprehensions. But as you know, God, as Vishal said, God worked us together as a family. So talk to us now. Somebody talk to us now about what did God do through you? What did God do through the team from your perspective? We'd love to hear that.
I guess I'll talk. Okay. I think going with a big group like this, it's a little bit scary sometimes because you don't know if you're going to get along with everybody. But I have to say, getting to know all of these people, it was one of the best parts of the trip. There's a lot of great people here, and I wouldn't have known that otherwise. And the other thing was, for me, getting to meet the family the very first time we went 2 years ago, that was a big highlight for myself, getting to see that family again. And worshiping, like Chris was saying earlier, in the church service that we have on Wednesday with the people down there, just their passion for God is just, it's unbelievable. And it's just so, you feel so alive being in that church service.
Okay, well, I guess I'll stand up too. I'm in the back. For myself and my husband, Mackenzie, familia, Kelsey came on our family too, I guess, when we were in Mexico. When we went down to Mexico, we had this heart to build for the families when we were down there and to just have this really big impact with the families and help serve in any way that we could. And believe me, we have that heart. But Mackenzie and I started coming to Grace Point about 8 or 9 months ago. And it's really hard to have a new church and a big church and really have like a family sense to it. Mm-hmm. And just going to Mexico, we just became this group, and it was like, you have my back, I have your back, and this is like our family now. Mm-hmm. And it just happened over a week span, and we yeah, it's just funny that we had to almost, in a sense, go all the way to Mexico to help a family to come back with a family.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Mm-hmm. All right. Things that we did down there, obviously we built a home, and I knew that I'd be doing that. I didn't know if I'd be doing much else than that. Some side notes of what happened is I was apparently married to another woman. My sister-in-law and I went down and we were sitting on the bus and it was presumed that we were married. Sorry, Mark, didn't know. But anyways, we got along very well. And then at another time I was sitting with Bill. No, we were not presumed gay, but we did life together. We sat there for about 3 hours and we shared life. It was great, you know. It was an intimate time where we were heart to heart, and that's aside from helping the other family. This was community within the community. Mm-hmm. It was great. We got to know one another. We had some great people. There's always somebody that's got a great big heart to make you feel welcome, and Cassandra was great at that. She was always there welcoming, a touch on the shoulder, hello, how are you doing? And there's others on the team the same way, but... you know, just getting to know people, working alongside with another family, just getting to know other Christians, and that was a great part of the experience.
For me, there was two interesting highlights. I got to know the family because I could speak a little Spanish, and one day I asked the mom, how many of your family of 13, are Christians? And she said to me, all but one. And she kind of grabbed this 17-year-old girl, who was the sweetest thing, and said, she's not. And I thought, oh my, this poor girl. What am I going to say now? And but I thought, God's given me the opportunity to put something into this girl's life. And I was able to say in my really bad Spanish, when I was your age, I started searching for God. And it took me a number of years. Don't give up. Don't turn God away. Don't turn away from God, but let him reach out to you. And that was an amazing highlight for me to be able to actually put that into that girl's life. And every time I think of her, I pray now for her that she will find God. And there was another highlight. Some of us went to the dump one day. And it was a strange experience and an interesting one. We were handing out food to the people living on the dump. And some were living there, some were working. And I had the chance to talk to a woman who was not living there. She was there with her three children, working there. She went up to the dump 3 days a week to actually go through all the garbage and collect what she could in order to survive. But the interesting thing to me was, it was such an amazing thing. She told me, God has always provided for me. I have faith in God. And I thought, you know, here she is working on the dump. And yet, she has faith in God. Look at us. We have so much. And that was an amazing insight and highlight for me.
Well, I said the cost was, is it worth it, before, and my highlight then was seeing the ripple effect on so many people. We didn't just help one Mexican family. There was the neighbors. All the children out on the streets were the neighbor kids, and some of the parents were out there too. We prayed specifically for one lady that... She had just discovered her son had cancer in his knee. She had a baby in her arms, and she had a disease that, mm-hmm. like, what was it?
Mental health issues.
What?
Yeah.
Epilepsy, yeah. So we prayed over her, and it was just amazing to see that it just wasn't one family. And the OLOC... That's One Life, One Chance staff. They were amazing to work with.
and to see what's going on there. And we helped the pastor there, and also, like we've said, us, the travelers, we had a wonderful time and a wonderful experience and a closeness. We became friends and a family, like we said. And the supporters, we couldn't have done it. We couldn't have done what we did without all of you, all the supporters, that the supporting money that came in. We raised, I gather, way more than we needed, and it was put to good use by OLOC.
For me, the highlight of the trip came in the worship service. At the end of the worship service, when Steve asked if anybody wanted prayer, and about a dozen ladies and a few men came to the front, and within a minute, they were all wailing. They were wailing to God. And the circumstance that they were living in, I was personally just overcome with emotion myself. As a matter of fact, I think Rod even came up to me to try to comfort me. And I'm just bawling my eyes out. But just realizing the depths of what these people are going through. Something hooked in with that was on Friday afternoon with Rob Wall, the guy who heads up the One Life, One Chance. He was showing us the House of Refuge. And then him beginning to break down and share with us how it's not uncommon for mothers to sell their daughters into prostitution in Mexico. And again, overcome because of just the circumstance that these people live in. And then Rob just saying, we've got to do what we can. And that's kind of what the Lord's had on my heart ever since the trip. Thank you.
Thanks,
Bill. Well, I just wanted to reiterate, just going on there, and it was helping that family build a house, but just to get a diverse age group here, just to get to know each of these guys, where otherwise you would not know, just the face in the crowd, right? That was just it was a family. We became a family just to get to know each other, and the church service there was a highlight too, just the passion they had, and also for me personally to see Avina up there playing piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a huge highlight for me too, to see how we, just to give you an example of the worship service, I'd asked, we'd have nightly devotional times together, and I'd ask the group who would like to be part of the worship service, and nobody volunteered. But you know, the night we went to the church, Avina particularly, Avina, I know you like lots of attention, so just wave at everybody. And she was up there, and other people I've never seen up there. Andrew, you were awesome on the guitar, weren't you? You sure were. And it was just fabulous. I was just so proud of us. We stepped up. So we did build a house for family. And what did it mean to this family? Watch this video and you'll get to meet the family.
Sobre todo, como dice mi hermana, cada quien tiene su espacio, pues ya
se siente como ese gusto así, al estar amontonado. Fíjese que yo nunca pensé tener este hogar, porque, bueno, yo tuve el hogar con el papá de mis hijos, que nos trató muy mal, pues nos separamos en el 2008. Y yo pensé que todas las cosas que iban a hacer, pues íbamos a tomarlo así, como si nada, pues todo en paz. Pero él no. Y en el 2014 vino a lastimarme, a darme un balazo, o conmigo, para dejarle la casa. Y entonces, pues, yo, pues, mis hijas me atendieron, me llevaron al seguro. Y al regreso ya no quisieron que yo regresara para allá. Entonces me vine en casa de mi yerno, Arturo, que él nos dio este lugar, nos dio espacio pues de vivir ahí y no quiso que regresáramos a ese lugar donde yo vivía. Pero pues ya mis hijos quedaron con ese miedo y temor, no quisieron regresar. Pero yo nunca pensé tener un hogar como hoy lo tengo. Porque gracias a Dios, hoy lo tengo un lugar muy hermoso, porque pues yo la verdad lloraba mucho, pedía, y yo misma me preguntaba, ¿de qué manera voy a tener un hogar? Si yo ya no puedo trabajar, perdí mi vista, ya no veo, y ya no es lo mismo que yo trabajara como antes. Pero pues mis hijos me dieron ese ánimo y gracias a Dios agarramos este lotecito en Pagos. Pero pues gracias aquí a nuestro pastor Florentino, él nos dio esa ayuda también, ese ánimo, que me ayudó a levantar esta primer casita. La verdad, estaba yo bien con mi yerno, no tenía ni un problema, pero no era lo mismo como tener mi propio hogar. Y ahora, pues, gracias a Dios, no tengo una, ahora tengo dos.
Pues yo me río porque la muchacha, la hija del pastor, me ayudó a cocinar y sí me la pasé bien con ella porque empezamos a platicar y me ayudó a hacer comida y es un momento que no olvidaré.
Claro, estuvimos en la iglesia con ellos. Bien amables, contentos y me cayeron muy bien todos.
Yo cuando estuve platicando con Katherine, que me estaba enseñando a hablar inglés y yo enseñándole algunas palabras en español,
pues yo quiero darle las gracias por habernos ayudado y pues por todo lo que nos dieron, porque es mucho, no podía agradecer todo lo que nos han dado. Y pues muchas gracias por todo lo que nos dieron y espero volverlos a ver otra vez.
Yo le doy gracias al grupo porque fueron muy amables con nosotros y sobre todo por los regalos que dejaron también y la licencia y todo lo que nos dejaron. Les doy muchas gracias a todo el grupo que nos trajeron esto.
Sobre todo, primero agradecer al grupo por su empeño, por su trabajo, porque hicieron un buen trabajo y porque por darnos un hogar.
Pues le quiero dar las gracias por la casa que nos dieron, por compartir momentos con nosotros y por ser amables y comprendernos, enseñarnos a hablar y nosotros a ellos y por todo.
Yo les quiero agradecer por el apoyo que nos brindaron y estoy muy agradecida con ellos porque ellos ayudan a que hubiéramos logrado la casa y un espacio.
Yo doy gracias porque me regalaron pelota.
Nos queremos mucho y queremos verlos otra vez, que no sea esta última vez por el trabajo, ¿no? Nos queremos verlos otra vez cuando tengan esa oportunidad de venir, que vengan para acá. Que nosotros los estaremos esperando como todos sabíamos.
So as you can see that we renovated their existing house and then we built them another one right beside it. But, you know, that wasn't the most amazing work I think that was going on. There was another renovation project going on that I don't think any of us really thought about before we went down. And that renovation project was one God had. You see, he's been calling his people who are part of his family, becoming part of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to join him, his Heavenly Father, and to be on a mission of blessing, just like he is. A mission of blessing in word and deed to those who don't yet know him. And he wants us to join in that most significant mission. And as we do that, our lives are built with lasting relationships, love, and peace. There's more to discover when we join God with him on his mission. Watch this.
Hey, brother.
As Pastor Rick shared last week, we're all part of a story, a grand story. This is the story of God's renovation through the Mexico 2015 mission trip. God's restoration plan involves building a new people, a new community into his family. He wants to graft his daughters and sons into his existing family, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So 39 of us headed down to Mexico to build a house. That's what we thought. We thought it was about building a house. But the house build was a metaphor for something else. Engaged in various projects of building a house. But there was a story running in the backdrop of all of the building that we were doing. While we were down there, we thought that we were building a house for this family. But we soon discovered that God was up to his own building project. As we worked and lived together, we discovered that God was building us together as a family. As members of God's family, we play together. We worship together. We eat together. And we eat some more together. And we spend time together. As members of God's own family, we are invited to join him in all his restoration projects, whether in Mexico or right here in our own backyard. The people you see here in this video are not the same as they were. They have tasted what it is like to be a people, a family, on mission with God.
So as you see, God has invited us into his family, into his winning family. God's story is the only one that will last through time as he continues to call people to himself till that day he redeems us and there's a new world. Will you join God in his mission? I wonder what could happen for us as a family at Grace Point. If we began to pray and ask God, God, you're on a mission, and we know God's on a mission right here in our region. God, how can I be involved in that mission? What would you like me to do? Maybe you'll do that with your discovery group. And I know it's starting to happen because one of the discovery groups I'm part of, we met on Tuesday night, and the folks there renovated their house, and what really thrilled me was they said, look, we've got a really big room now. We can't wait to invite our neighbors to a party. What will happen if we begin to pray like that and say, God, we know you're up to something. And when you prompt us, we're going to join you. Maybe we'll join you as a discovery group, or we'll join as individuals. We'll cross the street. And we'll fight the Canadian thing to isolate ourselves. And we'll go and say hello. Perhaps we'll do a deed not even to be noticed for somebody. What could happen here? See, there in Mexico, what happened was we went to a place and we began to build. And then soon after, a lady heard about what we were doing and she asked for prayer for her son and for herself. The action just started to come to us. One of the other great things that happened was that Megan, she doesn't want me to point her out and I won't. Megan just started to talk with one of the neighbor ladies who was looking at what she was doing, what we were doing as a team there. And she began to tell us about her financial situation. She'd been paying huge rent while her husband worked out of town. They couldn't afford this place. And so what happened was we linked her up to the pastor. The pastor moved her into the church because the rent was oppressive. And the church has built a room in there to continue to house people in there and then move them out when they're able. You see what happened? We started something there because we followed God. What could happen here, I wonder? What could Grace Point look like differently? How could Grace Point look like differently if in a year time we just began to join God in whatever he was calling us to do? Would we see new people here? Would we hear new stories as we join on mission with God? I leave that to you. Let's pray. Lord, you love Mexico, you love the world, and you love our region as well. And we know you're up to something here. You're up to building us together in faith, in Christ, so that we might go and share not only your story, but our story with those around us. Through deeds and words and deeds, sowing the seed, cultivating the ground, praying. God, our region needs you. We know that. And we pray, Lord, that you would raise up other fellowships, Peace Portal, the Village, the Church on the Way, the Church on Oxford Hill. All the churches, and some of the churches that are represented and joined us on our trip, the Lutheran Church there in North Surrey, and other churches, Lord, that joined us as we represented you down there. We pray you would do something in this region through us. You are working and you are calling us to join us, Lord. Let this be a new day for us so that as we look back, we'll be able to say, Lord, we listened, we addressed our fears, and we joined you, and we got to be part of some great transformation in us and through us and in others as well. Lord, we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before we have our closing song, we have a presentation. And Darcy, come on up here. We have a presentation to make. That's right. Go ahead. Melnix, where are you? Come on up. Come on up, Rod. I know you're really shy. Shauna, you're very shy, too, I've noticed. And come on up here. Yeah, you guys stand together. You two stand together. Yeah. All right. Listen, one of the things we realized in Mexico, in doing the Mexico trip, was when I met with them 3 years ago and they told me, hey, we've been down once, would the church be interested in doing that? Now, take a look around. See how many people you've influenced. Just take a look around. Okay? And there was a team last year and a team before. You had a dream, right? Because you experienced something. Now, look at it. It spread like crazy. And many of these people are going to come back, and there's others who will want to come back. And you'll host a meeting later on in this fall, inviting people, telling them about the trip and everything that's involved. But you, because you stood up, you said, okay, God, we're going to follow through on this. You've changed this woman's life. You've changed her neighbor's life. You've changed the life of that community. In fact, you got One Life, One Chance going, hey, maybe we'll send you guys back to the same community. You guys had a real impact there. You remember when we first met and you told me about this and I said, we're not going to do it because I don't have the time to do it? You remember that?
I certainly do.
You certainly do. And we met with One Life and One Chance and we vetted them in the whole process and thought about it, prayed over it. And you guys didn't let me down. You guys do all the work. You plant, you do pre-trip, you do during trip, you do post-trip. It's a lot of work, a lot of administration, accounting, and you do it yourselves. You actually go and collect beer bottles from pubs. Well, I don't know. You do. I know that. I'm not supposed to say that. You get money from anywhere. Scrap metal. You head up the projects. You invite other people in to make sock monkeys and cars and whatever you do. And you ask other people, would you give money? I know your work has been behind you in the past and supported you in going. You've made a difference. Perhaps there's some of you out there and you go, God's given me a vision to do something. I want to challenge you. Risk it. Risk it. Because you could be involved in shaping lives like this. God's gifted everybody. And you need to stand up and put it out there and see what God will do. So thank you. Bless you. Now back to work in leading us in worship.
Sure.
Yes.
I just want to have an opportunity to share a verse because, as Steve says, this is our fourth time down. And it's interesting to sort of see how things have changed and how things are different. One of the first year we went down with Grace Point was also a big group like this, and we built two houses. One was pink and one was orange. And we got a chance to go back and visit the families. And this year, the family, the Castrillons that were in the pink house, the mom was so excited, and she says, you know what, since we've been here in the last year, I've been able to start a Bible study, and it's like standing room only. And then Saturday, I have a kids' club in my front yard, and maybe you guys can come on a Saturday 1 year and help out with that. And I thought, you know what, we thought we built them a house, but we actually built an outreach center in that community. And we just thank you guys. From the time we wanted to do this, that you have been behind us in so many ways, financially supporting us and prayerfully supporting us. And we're just ambassadors on your behalf, in all honesty. So when we head back again, we'd love to have some more of you. I'd like to share one verse. It's from Acts 17, two verses actually, 26 and 27. It says, from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history, and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. And I think when you go down there, sometimes you're so overwhelmed by the unfairness, it seems like. We have no control over when or where we are born, and we are fortunate enough to be born in this country as opposed to down in that particular region of Mexico. But God's sovereign, and he had them. Those people born there for the time and for us to go down and be with them. And I just encourage you, he also had you born here in this time for you to make a difference and so that you could reach out to him because he's there and he's close by. And I just challenge you, as Steve was saying and others were alluding to, that you would, I guess, be to take him up on those promptings wherever you are. You know, you're in your neighborhoods for a reason. You're in your schools for a reason. You're in that job for a reason. And that's to give him glory and so that you could draw others towards him. So anyway, thank you very much once again from the whole team. And we're going to sing.